Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. Women Walking the City at Night is an initiative begun in the last 3 years by Eleanor Azan. She and I are walking briskly on a grit-covered path that runs beside a lake in the resort town of Banyoles, 20 kilometres north of Girona in Spain. We've only just met, as we're both attending a Walking Arts and Relational Geographies conference. I was intrigued because, did you say that you planned the first walks on the full moon, but you chose the harvest moon? Did you say the harvest moon?
The harvest moon is the first moon of September, the full moon of September. And it is called like this because it's the time of the year where the moon is is very near to the earth. And so the night is brighter. It's the brightest night of the year.
Okay, and so the first time you did this was last year, or the... The first time you did it was the year before.
Was 2 years before, in 2021.
Okay, all right.
I tried to do it in Seville the first time with a group of person that I almost knew everybody, but they didn't knew each other. And it was just post-pandemic. So I think we were really happy to be able to do something together, but in an open space and with people that didn't knew each other. But then I had time to think a lot about what happened.
So what was the inspiration for doing what you did? And perhaps you can tell my listeners now what it is that you are now doing every harvest moon.
So every harvest moon, we meet in one point of the city between women, and we are walking toward the trajectory of the full moon all night. The inspiration was that I was thinking about how do we live the city by night and by day, the difference of path on day and at night. And the difference between being woman or being a man in this election of paths. So I decided to organize and to think of a way of doing a real drift that will be not following the logical way of walking at night being a woman, but to find an excuse to change the normal path. And for me, the full moon was a perfect way of guiding us towards a different way of drifting.
All women, unfortunately, are victims of sort of catcalling and things like that. Was there a significant incident that you'd been involved in, or a friend of yours had been involved in, that had sort of made you want to do this? Or was it something that you've been sort of planning for a while?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything, but if I'm honest with you, I was reading a book that is very famous for walking artists, that is Waltscape from Carreri, and I always was thinking, I don't know why, I love this book, but there's something that keeps me out of the book. And so this artist that I admire, I really admire, founded a walking group called Stalker from the movie of Tarkovsky. And so I decided to see this movie. And when I saw this movie, I adored the movie. But there are three women in this movie. One is the mother that never goes out of the house. The second one is a daughter that is crazy, and the last one is a prostitute. So I connected everything and I said that was the problem. This book of Carreri is incredible, but it's not talking about our body. And so I decided to make an experience for us to talk, to live, to experiment through the body, the city that we normally don't drift at night.
Okay, so can you tell my listeners where you started? Which city, and now how it's beginning to grow and gain momentum.
Of course.
And whether that was your intention.
The first time was in Seville, and then the second time I wanted to do it in three different cities at the same time in Spain. And I started to write to everybody that I knew, and a lot of people that I didn't know, but I thought that maybe they could be interested. And suddenly we gathered up in 11 cities at the same time. So it was very impressive for me and for all of us. I chose to ask them not to call, to make any video call, but just to know that we were all in different cities walking at the same direction in the same time.
And this is for as long as they wished to, during the whole of the night?
There were rules, two main rules. The first rule, it's not really a rule, but the first indication that I gave to the person of confidence that I had in each city was to read a text. The text was enabled me to frame the work. For example, I asked every woman to be very aware of their proper limits, of how far they wanted to go. Even if the group wanted to go in a certain direction, if they just felt that they had to go at home, it was okay. And it was really important for me to say that the group was not an entity, but the group was made of a lot of different persons, and that it was our responsibility to be aware about our feelings. The other rule was that when there were less than five women, the drift would stop, or when the woman would not want to carry on, well, the drift will stop.
Were you surprised to recruit so many friends in so many cities? And is that the next intention? Are you, intending to run it each year?
Yes, I would love to run. I will run this walk each year until maybe, hopefully, we won't need anymore to do this action, because our bodies won't be different night. But until then, I will love and I will do everything I can to spread this action. And my biggest dream would be to make 24-hour walk in which each city from different country, as the change of hour is going on, well, night is not the same. It's not the same as
the Earth spins.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it would be like a continuous walk of women all walking the same direction and making a political action, and also a connection between person that doesn't know each other.
And what's been the reaction of the women who've taken part?
I guess it depends on which city we're talking about. But it's curious because there are lots of similar things. In the first drift, I was reading the text of our before starting walking. And so some boys arrived, some guy arrived and started to tell us a lot of things. And we were 15. And we could suddenly feel all of us a very cohesion among us, like, don't dare to approach. And it was really, really strong but they didn't know each other, but there was like a solidarity. Well, almost everybody asked me to organize it again, and they were thinking that once a year was too few.
Mm-hmm.
But I prefer few, and to do it few, but to do it each year, than not to do it. And then we were very surprised because there's always a moment in the walk that suddenly you're leaving the city back, and there's like a moment where the time seems to have stopped, and you arrive in places where there's a little bit more nature, and it's there less light, and it feels like a little bit magic. It's yes, a moment where a time doesn't pass by. But it's true that when you go back to the city, the difference is very big.
You know, if some of my listeners are listening to this, how can they get involved?
They can write to me.
Do you have a website?
So on my website, eleanorosan.com, you will find all the indication. And I'm also on Instagram, and you can email me and find me everywhere.
When I first heard you speaking and saw you, I thought you were from Catalonia. But you tell me that you actually live in Andalusia.
Yes.
Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, perfect.
Sounded very clever, didn't it? You're not actually from there either.
No, so, I'm French.
So where are you from? Okay, where are you from?
And
what brought you to Andalusia, and what's your practice around? It's not just walking women at night. There's more to it than that.
There's more to it.
Well, we hope so, because otherwise you're not doing anything for 364 days.
Oh, there's a lot of work to organize everything, but no, I'm doing a lot more things. And so, yes, I'm French. I'm from a big forest near Paris. And I arrived in Andalusia by a little crazy 20-year-old adventurous way. And I had to adapt really quickly. I was a normal student. I was not an Erasmus. So I really had to work. I think that the city, Seville, is a very safe space. And I remember the first time that I was going back at my house with very short clothes because it's really hot and I didn't speak the language, and I felt so safe, and I had never experienced that before in France. So it was already something that was into me. And so about my practice, I'm working on boundary and limits of our quotidian spaces. So, for example, I just finished an art residency where I was working on the bed, and particularly on the moment when we wake up and when we go out of the bed. It's a first limit that is talking a lot of what's...
You mean our first steps to the bathroom?
Well, it might be your way of of doing it, but there's a lot of person that we all go out of our bed in a very different way. So I made a lot of interviews, and
that's a very mischievous topic practice. I can see you're mischievous. And are you still a student? And what are you a student of? Well, maybe you're not a student now. You're a qualified something or other.
I have to finish my PhD in 1 year, and I am working on quotidian spaces and limits and boundaries through performance. So it can be, I was working a lot through walking, but I broke my knee, and this is why I had to reinvent myself.
How did you break your knee? How was that?
Because I invented a slow bike. So my slow bike is a bicycle that cannot go faster than 4 kilometers by hour, mm-hmm. knowing that walking were around 6 kilometers, so it's going really, really slow. So I had to...
Practice getting your balance.
Of course. I had to learn how to ride this bicycle. I almost killed myself because I fell down and a bus went just by. And so I said, okay, I'm going to stay on the bicycle path.
We are on the bicycle track now, so perhaps we better move over here.
And the bicycle track in Seville is really big. So I decided to ride on my slow bike on all the bicycle track of the city. That were almost 600 hours. But I didn't knew that I had a little misformation of the knee. So now I don't have any cartilage.
Okay. So you've had to... You haven't given up cycling, but you've just given up slow cycling.
During 3 months, I couldn't leave my house because I couldn't walk. And this is why I decided to still be aware on our limits, but not so much at this time on our city limits, but more on our domestic limits.
I'm certainly now understanding why you might be studying different ways of getting out of bed if you've got a broken knee.
This is why.
Okay. All right. Once you've done your PhD... you'll be running this Harvest Moon event. Mm-hmm. What's the Harvest Moon event called? Have you called it anything?
Yes, it's called, for now, it's called in Spanish, Mujeres Paseando, La Ciudad de Noche. And I have to translate it in English for the next full moon, a September full moon. It would be women walking the city at night.
Genuinely, what do you envisage? What would you like to do? And why did you come here? You're surrounded by people who often describe themselves as walking artists.
Yes, for me it's wonderful because I started to walk as an artist from an intuition. And suddenly I'm surrounded with other person that have years and years of experience walking and doing it with an artistic consciousness. So for me it's very interesting.
But you told me that you'd read Francis Correa's Walkscapes. What brought you to that? I could understand that having read that you might start looking for other people who are doing similar works, and he includes a lot of examples of other people.
Yes, a lot. Well, I started walking as an artist just when the pandemic lockdown was a little bit smoother in Spain, because in Spain it was really hard. You couldn't go outside for anything during a month. And so I invite a friend of mine to do an art action, walking action, and the action was the following one. I asked her for us to look for each other in the city without being able to call us by a phone, sunrise to sunset. And it was a moment where we had to be with masks in the streets. We couldn't gather, but we decided to look for each other in a very big city. And so the day before, we made a little event in a gallery, and we talked to everybody that we knew that we were going to look for each other the next day. And suddenly, because everybody had the desire in the post-pandemic to find each other, people that were there in the gallery started to look for us also. So suddenly we were all looking into each other without using the mobile phone that was so present in our lives at this time. And I found that there's many ways of finding us in the city, and it's not always the physical one that is the most strengthful. And so when this action finished, I wrote a book about my experience that was going with the soundtrack of all the hours of my day. And I started to be trapped in this love of walking and making art.
Okay, so I'd love you to suggest a couple of walks for my listeners. I know one of the suggestions is going to be come and join other women on the night of the harvest moon in September. So maybe I'll just press you for one other example, another suggestion.
Well, what I was telling you about the slow bike was a very strong experience for me. And so slowing down in the city with whatever material, just being ourselves, or well, without any artifact, or taking something really uncomfortable to go very slow in the city, well, in the city or in the countryside, or wherever you want to experience that, helps you to see another layer of the way the city where you're living. I was able to speak to so many person with this experience. So maybe I will say this way of doing it.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Eleanor Azan. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we'd love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Arfart Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.